Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Billie Godleski. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Angela, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is storage tuning of JVMs under KIX Transaction Server 3.1 on ZOS. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. At the end of today's session, the lines will be open for a question and answer period. Today's presenter is Katie Glynn. Katie has been a part of KIX Level 2 team for over 10 years, specializing in diagnosing KIX storage problems. She was part of the launch team for KIX Transaction Server 3.1. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Katie.
Thanks, Billie. Hi, this is Katie, and as Billie said, I've been with CICS for actually over 12 years now. My, how time flies when you're having a lot of fun. We have noticed over the past 2 years that there have been more and more customers coming in with JVM storage type problems. So I decided that it might be a good idea to create just a presentation, spend 30, 40 minutes describing the storage layout and to help customers better understand how to solve their JVM problems. We turn to page 2. On the agenda, I will be discussing the CICS address space storage layout to explain the benefits and consequences of any tweaking that you might do to the storage situation. Also discuss JVM storage enclaves, which would be the LE parms that are involved strictly with storage, how to define storage for JVMs, the important parms that you need to determine heap sizes. Also, I'll show you some samples of running some storage reports that will help tune the storage settings that you do have, and then we'll end it with just a few more storage saving tips, a few more things to consider. If we turn to page 3, I'll start out with the CICS address space storage layout and go right to page 4. Now, this is a very simple picture of the CICS address space layout, starting at 0 meg up to 2 gig line. If you notice in the center of my box, I am pointing out the extended common storage, and there's some extended common storage above the line and then common storage below the 16 meg line. This is an area of storage that's shared by all address spaces. TSO, VTAN, TCP, all your KIX regions share the same amount of storage. And in this area, this extended common storage, also called global storage, is where you'll find the LPA storage, LPA modules, MVS nucleus modules, and some of the CSA common storage area subpools. CICS doesn't really use very much of the common storage area that we do. If you have MRO on your system, there are a few control blocks in that area. But for the most part, it's really not available for CICS to use for its own storage. And if you can see here that where the private area of the storage is left, above the line and below the line, it really starts above the line, above the extended common storage. And you can see below the line, the common storage comes down, and which really does reduce the amount of private storage below the line. You really don't have 16 meg of storage below the line. You have a lot less than that. Also, I'd like to mention there is another version of Java 1.4.2 that does support 64-bit processing, but CICS does not support that version of 1.4.2. If we go to the next page, 5, I'd like to show you here the arrows here, if you'll notice them. There's two types of private storage. The user private grows from the bottom of extended user going up, and high private starts at the top of the region and is allocated going downward. Now, if you focus on below-the-line storage, you'll see that these lines can be pretty close. And when those lines do meet, you are out of storage. And that's when you'll start seeing the 80 ables and 878 admins. Where the bottom of extended user private starts really depends. Every LPAR is different, some depending on the size of the extended common storage, how many modules are in the LPA. If you go to page 6, you will see where the extended DSA and the CICS DSA, it comes out of the private storage. And it's the type of storage that comes from subpools that start at the bottom of extended user private going upwards. At CICS initialization, CICS will immediately get main the amounts that you have specified in your DSA limb and your EDSA limb. So it's very good to know how much private storage you have available. If you look at the DSA below the line, you'll see that it's allocated from the bottom of user private going up. Now, the top of user private, that value is very important to know before you consider increasing the DSA. So the storage information that I'm going to give you here will also help in other storage problems as well as JVM problems. If we go to page 7, you will see where the JVMs are allocated, and this is after the extended DSA is get named when CICS comes up. The JVMs use a substantial amount of storage, each one. So we've had customers come in that have seen the messages about out-of-memory condition with their JVM or storage problems, and the first impulse is to extend the DSA or to make the extended DSA larger. And as you can see in this picture, that has a negative effect because you are shrinking the private storage by expanding the DSA. Now, I didn't really put any marks here below the line about the JVM, but in reality, the Java Level 2 folks tell me that each JVM takes up about 12K below the line, which is not a substantial amount of storage, but if you are able to get 8 or 10 JVMs in your system, that's about 120K. So if you're really constrained below the line, you could get out of storage conditions in your region, even though you have plenty of storage above the line. Because the extended DSA really should be as small as possible in a region that has a lot of JVMs, it's recommended that you have dedicated regions just for your Java applications. That way, your other regions that don't have Java, you can extend your DSA to the amount that you need for your regular COBOL application. If we go to page 8, I'm sorry for this busy output on here, but there's a lot of really good stuff on this page. If you took a console dump of your active CICS region, in IPCS you could look at the virtual storage manager data. If you type in this VRBX command on the command line, VRBX VSM data, VSM stands for virtual storage manager. NOG means we don't want to format out the global or that common storage area because we're really not interested in it at this point. And summary, there's a lot of good summary information that gives you a good picture of what your region looks like as far as storage. For example, in this output, the top half of the output is for below-the-line information, and the bottom half is for the above-the-line information. And if you look at the field names on the left, you'll see they're very similar because there's the same amount of information for above-the-line as below. If you look at the first part there, start A, it tells you the start of the address, the starting address of the private storage area below the line, which is 6,000 for a CICS region. Anything below that, CICS can't access. And also size A, it tells you the size of the private storage area. Now this, if you add that value to the start of the region, if you add 6,000 to 8FOX8000, you're going to get 9 meg. So now we know by looking at this output that we have a 9 meg private area below the line, which is all that's available to us in that 16 meg area. And this is very important to know when you're setting up your DSA. How big can you make your DSA below the line? I've seen this as different values, anywhere from 7 meg up to 11 meg. In many KIX regions looked at this output for storage. And again, it all depends on how many modules are in the LPA, how big the CSA common storage area has been defined by the MDX programmer. If you please go to page 9, you'll see that I have arrows by the limit in the below-the-line storage and ELIM for the above. Now, in the below-the-line, the limit, in this case, the limit was set to maximum size of the user region, which is the same as the size. So this is showing us that the limit, there's no limit, that whatever is available to us, which is only 9 meg, is all available. If you look at high AL, that value, 8Baker000, this shows us the total number of bytes allocated to the LSQA and these other subpools, and these are the ones that are allocated from the top going down. So this helps you decide from the 9 meg line how much storage is allocated going down. And if you look at the third PARM, CRGTP, it tells you right now where the address, allocated address of the current top of your user region. So this particular region, right now up to 65900 is allocated, and above that is free. And the high AL, the high private area, tells us 8 Baker 00 bytes from the top of the 9 meg line coming down has been allocated. The fields SMSL and SMFR have to do with an IES USI. If there is an exit in place, it tells you what the limit is. And you can see here there's like a little minimum and maximum value of how much storage can be used below the line. And in this particular region, there really isn't any limit below the line. If we go to the next page 10, we can talk about the below the line section. I wanted to point out that in this particular region, the extended starting address is 27000. This is the address where the private area storage begins. If you look at the ELIM, which is the limit set, that 12Charlie000 number, just for sanity reasons, I always need to think of it in decimal to help me out. That's about 300 meg. So this particular region has a 300 meg limit that could be set by regions, could be set by IES USI exit. In this case, if you go down to look at the SMF EFL, EL, it shows you that the IES USI exit is what is controlling the amount of storage for this region. If those SMF fields are all foxes, then you know that your IES USI exit is not in place for this particular region on your system. But if you notice here that these boxes that I have over E-start A and E-lim, I want to point this out to you, that since your starting address is at 27 followed by 6 zeros, and you have a limit of 12Charlie, you want to add that limit to this address. And if you look here at the bottom, I've taken the 27000 and added 12Charlie to it and come up with 39Charlie00. That is the highest address that you can allocate storage up to. At that point, you'll be getting 878 abs. And there's a field here to tell you where your region currently is at. If you look at the third field, the ERGTP, it has a value of 2 Able Fox Dog 5000. I hope you can find that. It's the third parm in the bottom half of the page. These explanations on the right of the field are part of the summary information, so it will help you remember what the values stand for. But the extended region top tells you where we are right now. So we've already calculated that our address can go up to 39Charlie by adding the limit to start. So this output is telling us that there's still room. The region hasn't reached the maximum address of 39Charlie, so there's still some room to play there. If we go to page 11, this also is summary information from that IPTS command, the Verbeck VSM data, and this is a picture of the same information that we just looked at on the previous FOIL, so you can get a nice feel for what these numbers mean. And I'm only showing you the above the line on this page because it's the only thing that fit really well. But it shows you that 8 gig is the top of the extended private area. If you look toward the bottom there, you'll see that number where the region starts, the 27000. See, it plugs it in for you. And the number above that, the extended user region top, starts at 2 Able Fox Dog 5. And then it shows the maximum extended user region address of 39Charlie. So you can, even though it's not really proportional in the picture, you can see that you have free extended storage still available. If we go to page 12, we're looking at the same picture, but now below the 16 meg line. And this is a very good picture. There's that 9 meg. I told you that's the top of the private area, and the global storage is above that, which is not usable by KIC. We can see that the user region top for below the line is at 65900, which is a little over 6 meg. And from the 9 meg line, the LSQA storage, which is high private, it's being allocated from the top going down, has come down to address 87500. Now, when those two meet, the user region top and LSQA bottom, you're out of storage. In this particular example, it shows that there's about 2 meg of free storage still available, which is in a great position to be in for below the line. In this dump, I remember the DSA limb happens to be set to like 6 meg, so that's why we're at like 65900. I just wanted to mention, too, the high private area, the LSQA bottom, which shows that address of 87500. If you have a region with many DB2 threads, it's going to be, the TCBs are going to be allocated in this high private area. There, if you have hundreds of threads, it's going to take up a lot of room, so you have to be careful that you don't over-allocate the below-the-line storage. We go to page 13. This is also yet another output from that IPCS command, more summary information, another way to look at the storage. On this foil, my header didn't line up very well with my columns, but this is a subpool usage summary by TCB. If you look in the first column, it's the TCB. The second column shows what subpool number. Now, the subpool numbers start from 0 all the way up to 255, but in this case, I only captured subpools 1 and 2 because those are the ones that we're going to be interested in now for the JVM. The third column shows the storage key. It's either key 8 or key 9. The next column just shows the below-the-line allocation in that subpool for that TCB. And the second to the last column shows all the above. That's where we're really going to focus. The last column is just a total of the two. But that second to the last column, we're going to focus on those areas. Now, if you look over to the right, I put five little dash marks. And I put those dash marks there because those are the JVMs. And I know that they are because if you look at the first TCB over on the left, is 78482A, the first one. I know it because it's subpool 1, and the storage is right around 5 meg. If you look in that second to the left column, the 589000, actually it's a little bit more than 5 meg. But if you also look at the next four TCBs in that storage area, they're all around 4 or 5 meg. They look very similar. Those storage allocations represent stack storage in the JVM. And if you look at the bottom five TCBs and focus again on that second to the left column, you'll see a big number there. 8FOX9, FOX000. Just to put it in perspective, that represents about 150 meg. Subpool 2. This is subpool 2 key 9, and if you look at we're looking at the bottom five TCBs, and you'll see the first one is 784828 again. He has some subpool 1 and subpool 2. Subpool 2 represents the heap storage for the JVM, and it's substantially bigger. What's interesting with these five JVMs, only two of them show a lot of storage. And the reason that is because there's really only two active right now. The other three were active at one time, but they've been destroyed and waiting for another request to come in for them to build back up. Now, keep in mind that what we're looking at, we're only looking at the TCBs that own the storage. There's many TCBs that run within a JVM, but we're looking at the ones that own the storage for the particular JVM. But I can see here that we have five, and it gives you a good idea and good feel for how much heap storage each of them needs. Figure out if you have enough room in your region. We can go to page 14. There's really just two points that I want to make here on this page, and that is that each JVM is going to run in its own LE enclave, and CEE PIPI is a pre-initialization module that will start the enclave for a JVM. The JVM is a Unix process, so any LE PARMs that you're considering are not going to be the same ones that are used by CICS. The JVMs are using the operating system level LE PARMs. Just wanted to make you aware of that. Also, the other point is, which I think you've seen from my picture already, is that the JVM is in the CICS address space, but it's not included as part of the DSA, or the private area, which you need to make as big as possible to support the JVM. If we go to page 15, the JVM storage enclaves are really the LE PERMs on page 16. Language Environment Runtime Options. These are the options for LE that are particularly concerned with storage. Part of them are heap and part of them are stacks. Now, just to distinguish a little bit between the two, the heap storage is really the working storage for the application, the variable storage, whereas the stack storage is just pretty much the register save area for the different routines. So the stack storage is going to be substantially smaller than the heap storage. The anti-heap and below heap are library heap storage that are used by LE. LE modules that are called for services for the application are going to use the anti-heap and below heap. And those default values are pretty good. You might see, in fact, we are going to see in one of the samples that we are going to have to increase the anti-heap a little bit. But it's pretty good to start out with these default values because they usually work pretty well. Now, the heap value, that is strictly for the user heap, user storage. And in this case, we're starting at 4 meg with 1 meg allocation. And this will most likely need to be adjusted depending on how the developers have written the Java programs and how much storage they need. But we can take a look at these. We're going to take a closer look at it. The last two params are libstack and stack. Now, the libstack is the stack storage for the LE module. Sorry, and the stack represents stack storage for user stack. And again, you probably want to stick with these default values. There's these seem to work pretty well, and I have not seen them be adjusted, and the Java Level 2 people have said they really don't adjust them at all either. If we go to page 17, how to define storage for the JVM, on page 18, first we need to talk about heap. Basically, there's system heap and non-system heap, and I am simplifying that because I think it needs to stay simple. The system heap contains the class definitions, all the system classes, like the Java classes themselves for the Java product. Where the non-system heap is where you'll find the user heap storage, middleware heap. And middleware heap would be your trusted middleware like CICS or any vendor programs that you have involved in your Java application. Both of those are considered non-system heap. Now, this is where I would recommend, before I start talking about master and worker JVMs and standalone. If you have standalone JVMs, those JVMs have to be big enough to contain the system heap and the non-system heap. Whereas, if you have master and worker JVMs, the master JVM is going to own the system heap, and the workers are going to own the non-system heap. And that is storage tuning. You're going to use less storage by having the master and standalone, as well as all the performance benefits. We go to page 19. There are JVM profiles and property files. Keep in mind that the master has his own profile and property files, and the worker JVM have their own profile and property files. And depending on, for example, the heap sizes and stack sizes, the master's heap sizes and stack sizes are going to represent the system heap, and the worker profiles, the heap sizes and stack sizes, are going to represent those sizes needed for the transient middleware user type heap storage. Also in the properties file, the shareable class path, the master is going to define all the paths that are going to be in the shared class cache, which we're going to talk about later, and he starts up the class cache. I would like to mention that if you want to know, okay, the properties and the profiles, what are the good values to set up, what parameters do you need to put in these profiles and properties? I would recommend viewing my coworker Shayla's presentation, which is a very good one. It explains very well how to set up the JVM, what all the parameters mean. If you go to our support website that I have here down at the bottom and search on this item, you will find the MP3 presentation, and I highly recommend it. It's a great one to really give you the details about how to set up the JVM. We're going to just stick to storage here. We're going to go on to page 20, continue talking about storage. These are, in the JVM profile, these are Java params to set up storage. Now, the first two are the XinitSH and XinitACSH. These are both related to system heap. And if you'll notice, they are the initial sizes, these params, and there's no max value. So they're really just staying with the default values for these are pretty good. There's no max value. You don't have to worry about running out. And there's not much worry here is my point, keeping this really simple. The next two are the XinitTH and XinitS. This has to do with the middleware and transient heap. And if you'll notice, these also are minimum values, which if you work with the default values that CICS ships, there really shouldn't be any problem. But just one thing to note, on my bolded line down here in the bottom, the XMX is the one that you need to be concerned about, and you want to make sure that the transient heap and middleware initial heap values do not exceed that amount. But the XMS value in the default JVM profile is 128 megs, and it's a good value to start with, a good average value. In fact, a lot of calls that do come in, I notice that the customers stick with that 128 meg value because it works really well. There's going to be cases where you want to decrease that, and some cases where you're going to need to make it larger. But that depends on what things look like, and we're going to get to some reports that you can take a look at. If we go to page 21, how to evaluate your storage settings, and then on page 22, these are some storage evaluation reports that you can run. In DFH JVMRO, you can turn on the report O and report F on. And these reports will help you determine whether your LE enclave is a good size. You can turn these farms on, run your test, and then you can either issue the CEMT set JVM pool phase out or just recycle the region. But terminating the JVMs is what causes the report to be written to CEMT. So this is, you know, a simple enough test to make sure that your LE farms are tuned properly. Also in this KIC statistic, there is a section which I'm going to show you in a sample of how much Java heap is being used, and also some things that will show you if there's any performance type issues. And the last thing is the verbose garbage collection report. This also discusses it will let us know whether you need to increase your XMX value or even decrease it, or what things look like. And we're going to look at a report of that too. CICS requests garbage collection every 101 transactions. Garbage collection report, you'll see if Java is performing any additional garbage collection when storage requests can't be allocated. This garbage collection output is written to standard error. Going to page 23, here's an example of what the storage report looks like for the enclave CEPIPI with the report O and report F. And if you look over on the left for heap statistics, it shows that our initial size was 4 meg and increment size is 1 meg. And this right here in the report is very good because it says the total heap storage used and the suggested initial size is 23-point-something meg, which I would round off to 24 meg. And the reason that you would want to do this is the LE folks tell me that you want to make sure that LE has storage that it needs right up front. You want to avoid any additional LE get main overhead involved with that. But if you come up with a heap size set exactly to what LE needs, you're going to see a lot of performance improvements there. If you look at the one below, any heap statistics, here this was set to 4K and increment size set to 8K, and here it says the total heap storage use and the suggested initial size is 1.79, and that, again, I would round that off to 2 meg. So in this case, the report is telling us that the NEHEAP also needs some adjustment. Over on the right, additional heap statistics. Let me give you general information about all the JVMs that we're running with this profile during this report. It tells you the total amount of heap storage used, and in this case it was 142 meg, and how many heap requests, and how many threads are currently active in the JVMs. There's a lot more information in here, but I just wanted to show you how great this report was because it tells you exactly what to set your LE farm to. If we go on to page 24, here's an example of what you'll see in CICS statistics. Just this section right here covers JVMs. It tells you how the total number of requests for this particular profile. If you have more than one profile, you would have to run statistics. You would have to look at statistics for the other profiles. It tells you the peak number of JVMs for this profile. In this case, it was 3. And the number of new JVMs created for this profile, 2. I would say that 3 was probably the maximum, and a couple of them probably timed out. And then 2 more had to be rebuilt when the additional requests came in. I believe that's what that's trying to tell you. this sample was really a low activity, so we don't see anything like the number of times JVMs were unresettable for this profile, if there's some kind of application problem. Also, the number of times this profile had to steal a TCD because there wasn't, we were at max TCD, there wasn't anything available. Number of times this was a victim of TCD stealing. These are all performance things that you would want to look at, but here it tells you the peak non-system heat storage used. And in this case, it was 16 meg. So this will help you figure out, hey, it's like, oh, well, I don't need 128 meg. I can really decrease quite a bit. And again, this was a low activity example, but it's another report that will help you figure out how much storage you need for your heat storage. If we go to page 25, I have an example here of a garbage collection report, which first looking at it looks pretty cryptic, but after breaking it down, like the first line allocation, the AF allocation failure, that number in parentheses right after it, the 25238, that's the number of allocation failures for this run of the JVM. And that is a very big number. This is definitely a problem right there. Seeing that is one tip-off that there's a problem, unless this is some really long-running application. But on that line, it tells how many bytes of storage has been freed and 149 milliseconds since the last allocation failure, which is a blink ago. So that's not really good. That's another indicator that we have a problem here. And if you go down to the third line where it says GC25248, that's how many garbage collections have been done. And the next garbage collection line shows how many bytes were freed. And after the garbage collection, only 16% of the storage was freed, which is not good. There's not very much left. So you know very shortly another garbage collection is going to be done. So that seeing only 16% free is not good. There's other PARMs in here, too. There's MARP, the Sweep, and Compact. For example, Compact, that's a function where after garbage collection, there's a lot of holes in the storage, and the garbage collection tries to consolidate it by moving some variables and changing pointers and everything. But then there's a problem if the particular object is pinned where it can't be moved. It's sort of pinned, it's sort of like being a resident piece of storage. But all of these things, like the MARPs, the Sweeps, if you go to this link below, this is a Java diagnostics book, and it explains all of these things very well in garbage collection if you really want to get in more detail about it. I am really looking at it from a higher level, just at a glance, saying, yes, we have a problem here by looking at this output. If we go to the next page, 26, we'll see the garbage collection. This is a good example of garbage collection. Now, if you look again at the AF field with the 5, allocation failure 5, I mean, that's very low. There hasn't been much garbage collection or there haven't been many allocation failures, which you are going to see allocation failures because the storage is just going to fill up, which is normal. It doesn't get freed until a request comes in and there's no more storage left, and that's when the garbage collection will come in and just clean up. If you look at garbage collection 5, only 5 times. Oh, on the top line there, I forgot how many milliseconds since the last allocation failure. And then on the fourth line, it tells you how many bytes were freed and 72% free. So this was a worthwhile garbage collection because it freed everything, gave 72% free, and it will be a while again before another garbage collection is needed. And this is what you would like to see when you look at your garbage collection report. The bottom half there shows another allocation failure 6 and garbage collection 6, and it says 100,907 milliseconds since the last one. And again, the garbage collection freed 73% of the storage. So this is good, and this is what you want to see when you look at your garbage collection report. If we go to page 27, I'd like to just mention a few storage saving tips that might help. Shared lib region size and shared class cache. And if we go to page 29, the share lib region size is a DOS function. It helps the system share DLLs. To me, this is equivalent of an LPA where you can put your DLLs. You can't put them in the LPA, but you can put them in the shared libraries inside to save space. This shared lib region size is defined in the BPX PRM number of sys1.parmlib. The default value is 64 meg. Now, if you'd like to see whether this is how much of this storage you're using for shared, how much is active, you can issue the command display ONDSL and see how much of the storage you might want to make this smaller if you can. If CICS is the only user of the shared lib region, you can set it to the minimum value of 16 meg, because in reality, Java, the JVMs are only going to need about 10 meg. The DLLs eligible to get loaded are marked with an extended attribute plus L to make them eligible to be loaded in the shared lib region size. I would like to mention that this shared lib region size, I really hadn't heard much about it or didn't really understand it, but we had a customer come in who had a serious storage situation. And in looking through the dump, actually looking at the VSM data that I showed you earlier, it's very helpful. I hope you're not going to be afraid to use that. I found that they accidentally specified their shared lib region size to 1.5 gig instead of 150 meg. Assumed the whole address space just about. But they did bring it to my attention and started reading more about it and understand that it could be a really good storage saver as far as JVM. If you want to find out more about shared lib region size, please look at that link at the bottom of the page to find out more about it. Shared class cache on page 30. JVMs that use shared class cache have lower storage requirements than JVMs that don't. The standalone JVMs can't use shared class cache. Standalone JVM would use approximately 15 meg more storage than JVMs that are using shared class cache. The master JVM initializes it and owns it, and there can only be one in your CICS region. Shared class cache contains the IBM middleware, any other middleware, and also any user applications that you want to put in there that are pretty standard for all of your Java requests that come in. And they are defined in the properties file where you would have a path specify all the classes that you want included. There's command exec kick inquire class cache, if it's enabled or not. You can adjust the cache size. Initial parm is JVM CC size, SIT parm, and cache free. You can free the cache on the fly. We go to page 31. Just a rule of thumb here now to see how many JVMs can fit in your region. This is a very simple thing. Again, I like to keep things simple. It makes things a lot easier to solve. If your JVMs are using shared class cache, they're going to use 10 meg plus whatever you have the XMX value. That would be like for a worker JVM. If you're not using shared class cache, then 25 meg plus XMX value to determine how much storage your JVMs are going to use. You want to find out how much private storage you have available in your KIX region. I would take an active KIX region with no JVMs and issue this IPCS command, which we talked about, the Verdex VSM data, and I've been telling you about it a lot, and I really hope that you're going to use it. But you can find the eSize A, size of your private area above the line, and remember, you're going to look at the start address, the starting of your extended, and look to see where your current region top is at the moment and find out what the ELIM is. In this particular dump output that we're looking at where they set a 300 meg, we know from the ERGTP that they're really only using about 60 meg. There's 240 left. Well, 240 is not enough, really. I mean, you could probably fit one JVM in there, and that would be it, based on if you had a 128 XMX value plus 10 meg. So your JVM region should pretty much have no limit in the address space, so you can fit in as many as you can. Through my experience, I have never been able to get anyone in 10 JVMs in one particular KIX region, and that was pretty much because of the size. They happen to be big JVMs, but 10 was kind of our limit as far as we could go. When you go to page 32, summary, we talked about the KIX address space storage layout. We talked about Verbex command to kind of figure out how big your private storage area. And I think that would be helpful for tuning your DSAs as well, just having a really good understanding of what's available to your KIX region as far as storage. the JVM storage enclaves. We talked about the four PARMs, or five PARMs, actually, that are important for setting up in LE for your JVM, how to define storage for the JVM, and basically what I told you was XMX was the one that you need to be concerned about. The other ones are default values that will not probably need any tweaking at all. And we looked at some storage reports. There were three of them to help with looking at the LE enclave storage to make sure that was set properly, and then the statistics and the garbage collection, and hopefully you'll be able to use those to take a look at your region. And also the storage saving tip, which were the shared live region size and the shared class cache, which will really give savings, especially if you're trying to get more than five or six JVMs into your system. If we go to the next page, okay, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer work, there's an in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to a webcast and conference information. If you visit WebSphere.org for user group information, you can get more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for the Passport Advantage clients to open and update UPMRs online. And the My Port link on all product support pages lets you design them for the weekly email updates for products. And that concludes my pitch. Thank you very much.
At this point, Angela, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question is from Michael Giaquinto from Wells Fargo.
Hi, Kate. This is Mike Giaquinto. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Thank you for presenting this. Very useful. One area of confusion that I've had, and I only tried to do it once, and it was still confusing, and I just wanted to see your opinions on this. You mentioned before about the LE options, that they're MVS options and not CSS ones. But then there's also, as you pointed out, the JVM RO module. So what is the relationship between CEDOP, would it be, or the JVMRO, and in fact there was an older module that used to be able to put the LE options in. We're using CSS 3.1. What best way is there to put in LE options?
Well, the CEDOP is going to be used as the base, and then whatever you put in your JVMRO is going to override it. But it's not going to be overriding your PIX one, was my point.
All right, so the relationship between JVMRO and DOP is like the ROP and the COP, like the CSS ROP or the region overrides?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Right.
All right. Good, thanks.
We will now hear from Edwin Decker of GEICO.
Hey, Katie. How are you doing?
Hi, Ed.
I just want to thank you for your excellent support over the years.
Thank you.
And my question is, you mentioned that JVM was not part of the DSA allocation, so when I do like a CMT inquire DSA, I can see my allocations, but JVM allocations are not part of that. Do you see in the future there being like an inquire JVM command? We can get those kind of allocations on the screen without having to go through the dump?
All I can say is I hope so.
Possible future expansion, right?
Yes, possible. But yeah, I know what you mean by having to take a system dump to take a look at it is the best way. But there is good information in that dump.
Mr. Decker, do you have any further questions?
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, thanks.
And we will hear from Michael Giaquinto from Wells Fargo.
Hi again.
Hey.
All right, since it's quiet, I'll ask another one. And I'm kind of along with I think his name Ed was saying, access to some of this information is hard. And I find that particularly hard with the LE storage options, right? You turn on those storage reports. And when we have 500 regions, it's hard to turn on and to keep an eye on storage settings. Is there any plans or any way that you can make a recommendation? I'm not sure if this is a CSS thing or an LE thing. But that those options be enabled to be written out to SMS so that we can record them and programmatically sweep them, you know, look at them, analyze them, and produce exception reports on a regular basis for a whole bunch of regions rather than having to go in and turn it on and collect it out, to sys out, and wait through it so region by region.
Oh, I see. Just writing it to SMS. I don't know, but I could ask the LE folks if they have any plans to do that.
Yeah, one region or two regions at a time using these sys outs information is okay, right? When you've got We have 800 regions altogether, and that's awfully hard to assist.
I can ask the LE folks about it. Maybe they do, and we don't even know about it.
Okay, thanks.
I'll get back to you on that, Mike.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. Ms. Godlewski, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next few days. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Katie, for presenting. Have a great day, everyone.